Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It's 1:34 at Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. We'll get to the Oilers Now injury report in this day in Oilers history coming down the pipe at about 1:50. Royal Pizza, Pizza Pass, and more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years for a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Stauffer recommendations Mediterranean chicken. Just before we go to John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling, here we go into the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Rick says, Bob, crazy to me that people think we lost the deal. We traded for a guy that was a top defenseman last year on his team, and we moved a healthy scratch in a third rounder. On top of that, we actually got a guy that wants to be here. Is there a risk? Of course. But how can we say we aren't better now than we were? And again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. However, John says, most of us reasonable people are happy to have Keith, but the acquisition cost was too much. Simply put, how can you be surprised that Oilers fans are not happy and don't trust management to win a trade when we've been taken to the woodshed in virtually every big deal we've made in a decade? And although Holland has done a lot of good things as GM, his biggest trade thus far was a failure. That was Andreas Athanasiou. He's also traded away a lot of picks, and our prospect depth is just not good enough to justify that. We can keep on saying that Holland shouldn't squeeze or grind other GMs too hard. Come on, successful people grind all the time, and I don't consider it grinding when you have a walkaway point in the deal. And for your texter saying yesterday, good karma follows you if you help others in trades, how is that good karma working out for Peter Chiarelli? For the record, I'm a small business owner, says John. And one more, Dave says, guys like Staples think Ethan Bear is currently a top-pairing NHL defenseman because he has good analytics. The eye test in the playoffs proved otherwise, from Dave. I'll say this right now. Ethan Bear's got something to prove this season. He was really good a year ago. He had a tough campaign this past season. Not sure if... I bet you if you asked Ethan, he'd tell you he wasn't at the same level of conditioning coming into the 2021 season that he was at the start of the 1920 season. Let's go to John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Pay no overtime rates on 24/7 service repairs. That's how you build a legacy heating and cooling. John, welcome back to the show. We got your thoughts on the trade on Monday. We'll circle back to it in a second here. Do you think Ethan Bear is currently a top-pairing defenseman in the NHL?
No, he's not. But I also think that he has potential to be a better defenseman than people saw him in the playoffs. And quite frankly, I think that a guy like Duncan Keith is one of those reasons that will help Ethan Bear. I think that that's one of the reasons Duncan Keith is an Edmonton Oiler, is to lead by example on and off the ice for somebody like Bear, like Bouchard, like a few of the younger defensemen that are coming through the chain. I think that that's a perfect example of the role that Duncan Keith can play to improve the blue line for the Edmonton Oilers.
What would you say to the people that say the Oilers had to get Chicago? You know, Edmonton was negotiating really against themselves on this deal for Keith because it looked like Keith wanted to specifically come to Edmonton. How did Edmonton not get Chicago to retain any of the cap space? How would you respond to that?
Well, I think that if you looked at what Keith was financially to the Edmonton Oilers, and at this point the most he's going to cost the Oilers is in cash dollars $3.6 million over 2 years, I think that if I'm Stan Bowman, I'm going to say to Kenny, hey, that's enough of it now. I mean, I've already paid for Duncan Keith for you. I'm not retaining salary. I don't have to because it's not a very expensive contract to carry. And so the only burden you have to carry is that cap space for 2 years. It's the only burden. The only downside of this whole deal is cap space, and Kenny obviously thinks that it's important enough for Duncan Keith to be part of the Oilers to carry that cap space for 2 years.
There are actual people texting the show saying that they believe that Caleb Jones was a better defenseman than Duncan Keith. How would you respond to that?
I think they should have a sobriety test.
Carter has texted the show to say, I remember when the Oilers couldn't make a trade or have Hall of Famers wanting to come play here. Isn't Ken Holland building relationships around the league also? I don't understand the hate on this trade. It's a win-win. Bob, anti-social media is getting out of hand these days. Trust the process from Carter.
Yeah, I like Carter. Carter's a smart guy.
It has been interesting. Like I probably had more visceral takes from people via the text line over the last 3 days, dating back. You know, the last time it got a little nasty. Well, it was the day the Taylor Hall trade got made. There were people pretty upset, and also when the Cates Group was negotiating hard with the city of Edmonton to get the building deal pushed over the goal line.
Well, I mean, and let's face it, social media has grown even leaps and bounds since then. And you know, everybody has a voice. Everybody's allowed to have a voice. Everybody's allowed to have an opinion. The issue of having a trade done the second week of July is the only way that Duncan Keith can prove everybody wrong is by skating on the roster. And that's not going to happen until the second week of October. So from that perspective, you have to be patient and let the process take place. And Keith's role and Keith's value to this organization can only be measured in wins and losses and improvement of teammates.
John, should Oilers fans be concerned about the status of Adam Larson?
I don't think so still. I mean, I think that Adam Larson wants to be at Edmonton. I think the Oilers have targeted Larson as one of the key off-season signings, and I think it's just a matter of time. This is one of those ones where Larson's value to the organization might be better as an unrestricted free agent for the next 4 or 5 days. Well, let's see, so actually 7 days, and then get signed after the Seattle expansion draft.
John, would you give up a number one and a number three to get Alex Killorn?
A number one draft pick? I'm not getting rid of a number one draft pick anytime, any place, for anything in the National Hockey League. I think it's such a valuable currency, commodity, that I'm never giving up a number one pick, period. That just defeats the purpose of
I'm not saying if Edmonton should do it.
A long-term relationship with your fans and with your and creating a legacy of your roster.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder about a team like Los Angeles. We're told that they want another top six forward. They got a lot of prospects. They've had a lot of high-end picks. Would they be prepared? I mean, let me ask the question differently. John Shannon joining us, our Oilers Now headliner on today's show for our friends at Legacy Heating and Cooling, our Oilers Now insider. Do you think Tampa Bay will ultimately be able to get a first and third round pick for the final 2 years of Alex Killorn?
Well, I think that, what Julian is going to try to do is create a bidding war somehow, some way, which is why that type of information is out there now. And it also, I think, depends on how close your team is to being a playoff contender. Rob Blake right now in Los Angeles is trying to get a team into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not into the Final Four, but into the playoffs. And he's playing in the Pacific Division that we, I think, presume is a little weaker than other divisions with Arizona leaving and Seattle showing up. So from that perspective, what Rob's trying to do, as he did with the Arvidsson deal, is try to improve his team so that it's 10 points above 500 in that 92 to 96 point range and has a chance to make the playoffs. If you're doing that and Alex Killorn can be one of those guys, absolutely. But I don't think you're giving away a ton of prospects or picks in order to make that happen.
How much activity do you think is going to be there with the Oilers? Like how much, what do you, you know?
Well, I think Ken knows exactly what he needs. And I think there's still going to be possibilities of a top six forward showing up on free agent day on the 28th. I think that they still think they need probably another defenseman somewhere along the way. And then they have to figure out how valuable and what their depth is in that bottom six. So I think that they're, plus, what, you know, is Mike Smith and Alex Daylock enough of an answer in goal? They have to think of re-signing Mike Smith, and I think that they will at a certain point. But, you know, at this point, I think that that's probably the things that are keeping Ken up at night, is trying to figure out what he wants to do in goal and how does he get a top six forward without overpaying.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting here. Blake has texted the show. Bob, the issue here is we have way too many people playing below their cap hit. Very skeptical that Keith plays up to his 5.5 cap hit. I think cap space needs to be looked at more around here as an asset, just like the player or the pick. So that's Blake's perspective. And my belief is Keith goes in and slides into a spot that Oscar Klefbom was in at $4.2 million, and Klefbom goes to LTIR. And that was the guy.
And I think that domino about what is Klefbom, where is Klefbom, is a key question in all of this, that nobody... nobody has that answer yet, and if Kenny does have the answer, he's keeping very close to the vest.
Yeah, I know it's and the other day, obviously during the availability, Ken Holland mentioned on Monday that he did not very slim that we'd see Oscar Klefbom back.
Yeah.
This season, are you hearing anything at all on Tarasenko?
Well, I think that there are people kicking tires on Tarasenko, Philadelphia perhaps, Boston perhaps. I mean, Boston's in an interesting one. I see they signed Carlo today to a long-term deal on the blue line.
Yep.
But depending on what they do and if they try to get Taylor Hall back, how much space does that allow Don Sweeney to go get somebody and think that Vladimir Tarasenko is available to them? So that's one interesting. You know, this is the Tarasenko one's an interesting one. It came out that he was looking for a trade, but I think the message had been internally been given to him that the Blues were actually going to try to move him anyway. They had near as much success with him out of the lineup than in the lineup. And with the flat cap, if they could find a way to move some of that money, then that was going to be advantageous for Doug Armstrong.
Am I missing something with Colorado and Landeskog? Like, I'm a little bit, like, we're told they're significantly apart. I believe it was Pierre LeBrun reported that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, did they not value him as a, what's going on there, John?
Well, I think that, you know, they... that's an interesting one because I think there was obviously a real expectation they were going to the Stanley Cup final. And losing to Vegas as quickly as they did in the second round, and that was, arguably was going to be a tough series anyway, and the way Jared Bednar reacted and the fact that after the fact that the organization had to give Bednar a vote of confidence, I think speaks to the relationship at times between the coach and some of the players. And let's make no mistake about it, Gabriel Landeskog is, you know, if not the leader, then one of the leaders of this organization on the ice. And you have to think that he feels a little differently about the coach than some people do, in my opinion. And that, I think, has played a little bit into it. And I think that, again, the unfortunate time of being a free agent in the time of the pandemic in a flat cap, some of those prices aren't going to be where people expect them to be. And this might cause concern for Landeskog and his people, and they might have to find another place to play.
Well, it's interesting, right, because they've got a plan for MacKinnon in a couple of years, and they got to do Makar. And I have those two players in Rantanen ahead of Landeskog on that team. So would Landeskog immediately catapult to the top spot on left wing ahead of guys like Hyman and Hall? I think he would, wouldn't you?
To me, it also depends on dollars. And, you know, if Landeskog, I do expect Landeskog to be in the market on the 28th, but then what kind of bidding will be created? And I think it's going to have to be, this is where managers are going to be challenged this year, Bob, is, you know, are you going to accept the 4 or 5 year deal with a guy that fits a number within your cap? And then not just saying, okay, we're going to spend a little higher and get the guy that like you say, might be higher on the wish list. That to me is that's an interesting one. I think you have to find those equations are going to be tougher on managers this year, and I think that's one of the reasons why A, things are quiet right now because guys are trying to find ways to make cap space available, and hopefully I think that we'll see some a bit more movement before the 17th when they have to put their rosters in for the expansion draft.
Any update on the Olympic front?
No, only that you know the managers were on their meeting on Monday were told about the issues. You know, one of the issues again is going to be COVID. It's not going to go away. And then they were presented a single schedule again on Monday. This one did have an Olympic break in it, but there are still two schedules out there: one with an Olympic break and one without. So it's a work in progress, and they are trying to get a schedule out to the public the last week of July, and hopefully there will be some sort of resolution. But that said, I've been told by many people within the NHL, listen, if we put out a schedule that doesn't have an Olympic break in it, and then we're able to negotiate Olympic break because we promised the players we would do it, we can always rechange the schedule.
John, great stuff. Thanks for your time. Talk Monday.
Okay, bye-bye.
That is John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Pay no overtime rates on 24/7 service repairs. That's how you build a legacy. It's 150 in Edmonton. Still got lots coming up on Oilers Now.
Subscribe to the Oilers Now podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
152 at Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody, into the Oilers Now Injury Report, brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the gang at James H. Brown. Trent Brown, multiple-time CFL All-Star, winner of a Grey Cup with the EE football team. James H. Brown Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters in injury law. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
Well, obviously nothing breaking on the injury front, but a couple guys that won't be ready for the start of this upcoming season. Bruins goaltender Tuukka Rask, he's out until the new year following hip surgery. Max Domi of the Blue Jackets out until early November. He's recovering from a shoulder injury. Same with Ottawa's Derek Stepan, mid-October for him at the earliest. He had surgery on his shoulder. And then Pittsburgh's Evgeny Malkin, questionable as he's working his way back from a knee ailment.
I think Stepan is an unrestricted free agent. I don't even know if he's going to be able to get a job. We'll see. Time will tell in that regard. Off to the Steen Oilers history for New West Travel. This September, travel on a private WestJet charter flight to Whistler, BC. Play 4 spectacular mountain courses. Details at newwesttravel.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
Yes, in 1995, legendary Oilers goaltender Grant Fuhr signs as a free agent with the St. Louis Blues. 4-time Stanley Cup champion, did have stops in Toronto, briefly in Buffalo and Los Angeles before signing with the Blues, where he'd spend 4 seasons, 95 through 1999.
Again, that's This Day in Oilers History for New West Travel. Experience a great golf holiday to Whistler. More details available at newwesttravel.com. Mark says, Bob, if you could have either Keith or Klefbom for only 2 years, I would pick Keith for his defensive play and leadership in the playoffs. We are a better team before today than before that trade. That's what a GM is supposed to do. Make the team better. Thanks for Mark. Well, suffice to say, not everybody is of that same belief. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. Brendan Escott, what's he got shaking?
Elks starting quarterback Trevor Harris and in-game analyst for 6:30 CHED Blake Dermott, as well as Oil Kings head coach Brad Lauer.
I wonder if Brad Lauer, who's going to coach Team Canada for the World Juniors? Usually they make you work your way up. It's usually you have to sort of come in as an assistant, and then you're the associate, then they give you the head. So I'll be intrigued to see how Hockey Canada, because wasn't the guy that got hired, Andre Turgay, was he not supposed to be the head coach of the World Junior team this year? And instead he's now the head coach of the Arizona Coyotes. Tomorrow, wow, what a show for you tomorrow. Sportsnet color analyst from NHL Hockey and Rogers, Louis DeBrusque. For Canadian Power Pack, Alberta's leader in electrical construction service, electrical prefabrication, solar, Kevin Weeks, and Oilers Director of Amateur Scouting, Tyler Wright. Now, we were supposed to have him on Monday's show. Duncan Keith deal went down. Would a trade happen tomorrow? If not, we will have Tyler Wright to discuss the 2021 NHL entry draft. Hey, special thanks to all of you who took the time to participate and text us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. Lots of responses. Some of you bringing some venom. It's all good. Thanks again to listening to the show. Up next, the Global News Weather Traffic Update with Eileen Bell, followed by Angela Coquat from 2 to 3 p.m., then 6:30 Jet Afternoons with Jaylen Igan. Reed Wilkins tonight, Inside Sports, 6 to 8. So long, everybody, from Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 6:30 Chad.